Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? Well, if you're a gardener, it is. You know, it's rained like crazy yesterday. Probably going to rain this weekend, but there's lots of stuff we can talk about because this is all about gardening. For the next hour or so, here on the Gestalt Gardener, a Mississippi public radio production, me and Java Chapman and all the folks here at MPB are going to bring a garden party statewide and beyond. You got some stuff you want to talk about? It's a live program, call-in program, gardening-related. Got some cheesy music, several really interesting events coming up in the next this weekend and next. And we're going to talk about stick-type Velcro plants. We might even get a little bit of sex in the garden. We just don't know. But one thing's for sure, we're going to talk about firsts. First roses, first magnolias, and anything else you want to talk about. If it's about gardening, folks, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. I'm going to lead this conversation we call the Gestalt Gardener here on MPB. Sit back for some news and come back, and we're going to get dirty.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back to Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and we're going to be talking about some kind of gardening for the next hour or so. Not much we can do but talk about it right now, although I did go out in my yard this morning before I wandered up this way and pulled a couple of weeds. You know, it's been my experience, if you stay on top of them, they're not so bad. It's not like making your bed up and you do it once and you're done with it. It's more like sweeping the floor. If you do it once a year, it's going to be trouble. But if you do it every now and then, it's not quite so bad. Anyway, that's what weeding's like for me. I belong to this online forum called, well, it's called Quora, Q-U-R-R-A, where people write in questions about, you know, they write about airplanes and pilots answered, and they write about medical stuff, doctors answered, they write about gardening stuff, then people like me answering. And one guy wanted to know if you could make some homemade weed killer. I'm thinking, yeah, sure you can. Does it work? Eh, no. You know, sometimes for some people, maybe part of the time. But what I do, and keep in mind, you know, I'm the guy who wrote all the books, who got the radio and the newspaper and magazines and blah, 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 Horticulture Society, blah, blah. And I get on my hands and knees and I pull them with my fingers. And if there was an easier way to do it, I would do it. I pull them up. Sometimes I use a sharp cutting thing like a hoe or a little hand knife or something. Sometimes I use a saw if I don't get around to them fast enough. And sometimes I cut them. But mostly I pull them by hand. I throw them on the sidewalk or the walkway. When I'm done, I scoop them all up, throw them in the compost pile, take a leaf blower to the place, and then put mulch on top of everything to keep them coming back quite as much. And I found if I do this just a couple of times a year, I'm on top of it. If I do it once a year, it's a real chore. Every couple of years, nope, ain't going to happen. But what I do is I walk around my yard in the morning, a cup of coffee in my hand. If I see something's coming up that really shouldn't be there, I go ahead and take, it's like picking up a penny. A lot of people just walk right past. Java, you ever walk, I mean, we all do this. You know, a penny is almost not worth bending over picking up anymore. You know, it's just waiting to be put in the cup at the service station. That's all a penny is really good for. But bending over and picking up pennies, if you do it all the time, you know, you can come up with a cup of coffee maybe a year. But anyway, I'm not going to talk too much about that. I would like to say if you've got some ideas about gardening, some tricks you use, some little shortcuts and things like that, let's share them. It's kind of like a garden party here at MPB. We don't have rules. It doesn't matter to us if you do it this way or that way or don't do it at all or you don't like the way your neighbors do it or you wish your neighbors would leave you alone. Just however you want to do it. If you want to talk about gardening, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to stick to the horticulture doctrine. And if you need it, I can throw it out and make your eyes bleed with stupid details about horticulture science. But if you just want to knock around the yard, try something new, give us a call. It's toll-free, 1-877 MPB ring. A whole bunch of stuff going on, but before we get to that, I want to give a couple of shout outs. And again, this is a garden party, so feel free to join in anytime. We had a little touch of blackberry winter this past week, that late cold wet snap we always seem to get, and people act like it never happened. Anyway, glad I didn't set out my summer plants yet. In fact, I just now started some seeds to plant in a month or so. If you plant like in January or February, they get long and leggy and floppy and weak and they fall over and, If you wait till it's warmer, they come up fast. They're stocky. They're sturdy. They don't flop over. And they come up real fast. So yesterday I started some seeds of some coxcomb, the old-fashioned coxcomb, some burgundy okra. I got a couple of pods of Peter peppers. You don't know what a Peter pepper is. Google it if you dare. But I got me some seeds of Peter peppers started. Some roselle and a special heirloom squash that grows like a gourd on a kudzu vine. It's called Casa Banana. Casa Banana. It's a really weird thing. They're like big burgundy cucumbers, but they taste like, they're just tropical like mangoes on the inside. Anyway, no hurry to get any things in the ground till it warms it really well, including the rain, so I just got my seed started. I did put up this past week, got my friend Ronnie to come over and help set up some arbors for some vines, one-post arbors, a post with two little cross arms at the top, and they're, about 4 feet apart, and I connected them. I had a row of them, and I connected them with some rebar. I'm going to grow vines on them, and the reason I'm doing this, and I painted them kind of teal, kind of a blue-green, I put them in between a curve of crepe myrtles in my backyard because the crepe myrtle is going to be toast after a while. It might take them a year, two, three, four, 5 years, whatever, but I got a head start of my arbors that are in between my crepe myrtles. By the time the crepe myrtles start to peter out because of this bark scale insect, I'm going to have some vine-covered arbors. Arbor sort of means tree-like, so I've got me some replacements. Instead of waiting and then having nothing and having to wait another few years, I'm getting started right now. By the way, if you don't know about the crepe myrtle bark scale, if you don't know about it, not sure about it, if you've heard about it, want to know the scoop about it, somebody's not going to try to sell you anything or blow smoke. If you just want to know what they look like, what they do, what you can do in the short run, and what the long-term prognosis is with pictures, go to my blog. It's a free blog. I don't sell anything. It's Felder Rushing Blog, B-L-O-G. I don't do the website anymore, but felderrushing.blog. You can email me through there, but as soon as you go to it, at the very top, it has a list of things. It's got a tribute to Dr. Dirt. It's got a thing about my pickup truck with a garden in the back. It's got about the crepe myrtle bark scale. And I think if you click on that, you'll learn a whole lot. And at the very bottom, it's got a picture of my new arbors, by the way. Again, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. Got the lines wide open. Love to hear from you. Want to give a couple of shout-outs to Killed, Mississippi. Went to the Killed down close to the coast. Took the back road through downtown Mendenhall, Prentice, Columbia. Beautiful courthouse downtown Columbia. Down to a road to Bogalusa, Louisiana, where the power lines went from 4 to 3 to 2, and I'm thinking I'm getting out in the boondocks here, but then it picked back up to 3 to 4. I broke back out into civilization. Bogalusa, Louisiana, Henley Field. Then I had a really big audience in the new library in Kiln, which, by the way, they're real proud. I want to give a special shout-out to Kiln, Mississippi. They finally got their first fast food place. It's a Ward's. Ward's is really cool. They got the chili, biggin' with chili and cheese and a root beer. But anyway, and somebody said that they got their traffic signal where it's working now. Anyway, the Kiln, real good folks. Anyway, I stayed in a cool little bed and breakfast on the beach in Bay St. Louis because I had a program at the Bay St. Louis Library, standing room audience in Bay St. Louis. I want to give a shout-out to Mark and Sally Isaac. They put me up at their little B&B, and he pointed me towards a funky little place down on the coast, a little beer dive, I guess. And I had some spicy boiled shrimp called Royal Reds and a locally brewed beer called Southern Pecan. A little brown ale, lightly flavored roasted pecans, brewed at the oldest brewery in Mississippi, Lazy Magnolia, there in Kiln. Hey, if you want to give us a call, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. I want to throw out a little competition. I'm going to throw it out now. Folks on the coast got a little head start. If you want to take a picture or call in, the first magnolia bloom of the season. Going to happen somewhere in the state sometime this month. First magnolia bloom, our state flower, our state tree. If you see a magnolia blooming, let me know when and where. Meanwhile, let's slide to Fondren, which is my neighborhood in Jackson. Hey, Joanna, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good. I just walked through your neighborhood today.
You did? You did. You see a lot of pretty things.
I did, and that rain made everything sparkle, but it also knocked the pollen down, so I can actually see because my eyes aren't all puffy right now. What you got going on?
I was supposed to ask you when I saw you, and I didn't ask you. My son wanted to know, can we grow a culinary bay down here, like the one you pick the leaves and put in gumbo and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They get pretty big, as a matter of fact. My mother grew one up 100 miles north here in Indianola. They're not going to get big trees like they do on the coast, but they're big bushes. They're just kind of generic. They don't flower, so you're going to have to hang some Christmas lights or something on it. But they grow perfectly well. Needs sunshine, needs a little elbow room because they get about half as wide as they do tall.
Where would you get one?
Most places that have herb sales are going to have little small bay trees for sale. They're pretty, not going to look like much when you put it in the ground, but it's going to double or triple the size of the first year. And, I mean, come on, Joanna, how many bay leaves do you need?
We can share.
There you go.
People can stop by and get a bay leaf.
We'll put it out by the curb because I don't have room for one in my yard, and I would appreciate it.
Well, you can sure come by and get one.
Anyway, look for them. They're just called bay tree, and they're perfectly hardy here in Jackson.
Okay, let me ask you one more question.
Sure.
On the curb of my yard, I started a burn, I guess you call it, years ago. I kept putting down limbs and leaves and stuff, trying to get it where you could actually grow something there.
Uh-huh.
And towards the top, I planted things like I call it Mahonia, that make those big blueberries.
Yeah, with the yellow flowers right about now.
Yeah. And I planted oak leaf hydrangea and different things. But when you stand on the street, I don't have, they look leggy and weird, the things at the top. I need something to like anchor them to plant on the side of the street.
Yeah.
Well, I got now is poison ivy and blackberries, and I love the blackberries. They've got little white flowers.
Yeah, they're pretty. They're pretty, yeah.
And the poison ivy's native, and it gives a lot of color, but I've got that and labripe, and that's about it. I need something to anchor it where those things on the ridge just don't look so leggy.
Yeah, well, right. First of all, next time I walk around the street, just snag me, and we'll talk about it. But right off the bat, the first thing I would put would be some kind of hard feature. If you could get not necessarily a big rock, but a big flat rock, you can stand up, look like a rock or a piece of driftwood or a bench or one of those little cute corner library things. You see them around the neighborhood. A bottle tree, a bird bath, an urn, something hard out there.
Right.
That's sort of like an art thing, and it can match the architecture of your house, or it could be whimsical or classical, whatever. Put something like that out there, and people will focus on that. And then you can start putting some low shrubs. There's a type of Nandina that I grow right in front of my house. It only gets about a foot and a half tall, and it's evergreen, like a little skirt.
Okay.
There's several low growing plants and all around our neighborhood. But if you'll just put some kind of hard feature and just, instead of trying to cover the whole thing with stuff, just repeated groups of, one plant here, another one there, or little groups here and there. And, people have noticed that. It's called punctuation. Make an accent and create some punctuation. You can also put a really, really inexpensive little short section split rail fence along there that gives a really nice, if it fits with your architecture.
Okay.
But don't get me started about over-accessorizing if you've ever seen my yard.
No, I just couldn't figure out how to do it. I knew it didn't look right, but I just couldn't figure out how to pull it down and anchor anything. And I hadn't even thought about putting like a hardscape like you said out there.
It needs to be bold.
Stuff like that trees and...
When I say it needs to be bold, I made a fist and I shook it, bold, right there. And that's all it takes to get the neighbors off your back.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you so much. And I hope Ira has a good deployment.
Thank you.
Well, and
I do appreciate that a whole bunch. Thank you so much. And I'll see you around the hood, too. Alrighty, folks, we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up this weekend and next I want to share with you. I'm horticulturist Phil DeRusher, me and Java Chapman are sort of manning the things in here. We're talking about gardening. And if you've got some things you want to talk about, you can give us a call. You can email us, garden@mpbonline.org, or give us a call toll free, 1-877-MPB-RING. I'm also looking for a little competition. Who can spot the first magnolia blossom this month, when and where? Horticulturist Phil DeRusher, got some callers on the line, got some events coming up I think you'd be interested in. We're going to share those. It got some cheesy music coming up in just a few minutes. Stick with us, folks. We're still right in the middle of getting dirty here on MPB.
Hi, this is Bill Ellison, host of Grassroots on MPB. Few artists have had greater influence on American folk and acoustic music than guitarist Doc Watson. Doc was part of the 1960s folk revival. He was also a star of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's early 70s classic Will the Circle Be Unbroken album. And he's in the Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. Doc is also a frequent guest in the Bluegrass Cabin, so come see us on Grassroots Saturday night at 8 on MPB Think Radio.
All righty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Fellow Rush. We've got a couple of calls on the line. Before I get to that, let me throw out five things that are going on this weekend or next week before we can talk about next week. And I'll repeat these in a little while. But first of all, tomorrow morning, I'm going to be hosting a plant swap in Meridian, downtown at the Max. If you haven't been to the Max, it is unbelievable. It's easy. The plant swap is free. I'm going to give a little talk. There's plenty of parking. We've got a farmer's market a block or so away. But that's going to start at 9 o'clock. Bring a good plant, a plant in a pot, not something just snagged up out of the ditch. Bring a decent plant. We're going to get together, mix people and mix plants, and talk about pass-along plants and hardy plants. That's going to be free. It's going to start at 9 o'clock at the Max downtown Meridian. It's going to be a lot of fun. First time they've done this, so I hope to make it a real success. Then I'm going to scoot right after that, right on up the highway to New Albany. They're having their flower festival this weekend, and I'm going to be giving a talk at 3 o'clock. And it's going to be a downtown. It used to be at the fairgrounds. It's going to be at the Magnolia Civic Center, which is downtown New Albany. Magnolia Civic Center. Hard to miss it. But starting at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be giving a talk about having fun in the yard. So two things tomorrow. The plant swap in Meridian starting at 9 at the Max. And again, free, easy parking. And then my talk at the New Albany Garden Festival at 3 o'clock at the Magnolia Civic Center. Also coming up this weekend on April the Sunday, Crosby Arboretum is doing a free thing. It's called Strawberries and Cream Festival. They're going to have ice cream and strawberries and music. It's free at Crosby Arboretum just outside Picayune on Sunday, starting from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And then on April the 11th, I'm doing a program at the Winona Library at lunch. It's a free program, Winona Library on April the 11th. And then that evening, I'm giving a talk at the Walnut Grove Library with a plant swap and a lecture. So plenty of last thing, next Friday, I get off the air, I'm running up to Clarksdale. They got me in my pickup truck, going to be at the Juke Joint Festival, right down at the Collective, which is the old Miss D's Garden Center, right downtown. Going to be in the back of my pickup truck talking about stuff. Anyway, I'll repeat those in just a little while. But meanwhile, let's talk with Peggy and Morton. Hey, Peggy, thank you for calling. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you, Felder?
Appreciate you holding. What's up?
Well, I have some Laura petalums in my front yard, right there in front of the house, and they have contracted some type of disease, and they look horrible. What can I put on them?
Well, I don't know what the disease is. It could be bad, without seeing it, I don't know. Is it on the old leaves? Or the new leaves look okay?
No, it's all over. The leaves has little powdery-looking stuff on them, and then the bark itself, some of the bark is got green stuff on it.
Green, kind of frilly-looking stuff?
Like moss.
Yeah, I tell you what that is, Peggy. When you see that, those are called lichens, L-I-C-H-E-N, lichens. Mm-hmm. They grow on things that are not growing very well. They don't hurt things, but they tell us the plant's having trouble. They grow on rocks and tombstones and bridge railings, so you know they're not hurting those. But when you see them on a plant, that says that the plant needs to be fertilized or pruned or somehow kind of gotten, it's struggling. And the best way to deal with a struggling plant like that, believe it or not, it's going to half kill you to do it, but the plant will thank you and just cut it back. Cut it back as far as you want. It'll put out real strong new growth. The roots will have a little bit of a breather. They can catch up, and the plants will be better than ever. And I bet that the problem that you're seeing is caused by the plant being kind of weak. You know how if you don't feel good, you're more likely to get a cold or something. Plants the same way. So if you'll just, you don't have to do them all at once, but if you'll cut one or two of them back pretty hard, a week or two, when they sprout out new growth, it'll give you the confidence, go ahead and cut the other ones back. And I bet they come out stronger and prettier than ever. I bet.
Okay. One other question. I don't know. I emailed you last year, but I don't know if I got this from you off the internet. Can you mix ammonia with water and spray it on plants?
You can, but it doesn't really do much good. It's just, okay. So you didn't hear that from me because I don't, there are a lot of home remedies like making sun tea that makes sense, but a lot of these home remedies, they just make people feel like they're doing something, but there's no real reason to spray ammonia on a plant. Doesn't have any real benefit.
Well, I'll try cutting them back and see if that works.
Now, if you want to, Peggy, if you want to take a really good, clear, close-up picture of some of those leaves, you know, where you could tell what it is from the picture, send it to me. I can give you a good educated guess, but I bet I'm going to recommend just cutting them back, getting them sort of – it's called rejuvenation. I wish we could do that to our kids.
Okay, so I'll take a picture of it, too, and send it to Gardening at Felder?
Garden at mpbonline.org.
Okay.
All righty, Peggy. And call anytime. All righty. Let's go now to here in Jackson. Talk to Ken. Or in Madison. Hey, Ken, what's going on? Hello.
Good morning, Felder.
Howdy.
Thank you.
Sure. What's going on? What's up?
I was just going to see if you could give some advice. I had a tornado hit our residence. Thank goodness the residence itself was not damaged, but I had 26 mature trees on the lot, mainly pines and fir trees, and every one was so damaged they had to be removed.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking for a suggestion on where it might be best to go to try to find somebody that would help plan out a landscape that would be on basically a blank palette.
Well, you know, in the landscape, you know, I hate to say this, but you get 100 landscapers, you get a couple of 100 different ideas. And, you know, so if you're, you know, if you'll email me, I can suggest something that I know personally that I can recommend. I mean, I'll be glad to come by and kick around some ideas for a little while, but we need to figure that out by email. But I wouldn't just go with whoever draws the most circles on a piece of paper, because some landscapers feel like that they got that the more circles they draw, which represent plants and digging and expense and all, the better it looks. Because sometimes fewer, bolder plants carefully placed have a better effect with a lot less maintenance. I'm really, by the way, congratulations. Your house didn't get hit by those pines?
No.
You lucked up.
There was only one fir tree about 30 feet tall. It kind of leaned into the house, but it didn't damage the structure.
You dodged a bullet with those pines. But anyway, shoot me an email, and I'll throw out some ideas. But again, no two are going to be alike, and what I might suggest would be to have them come out and talk with you before they sell you any kind of plan.
I understand. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Yeah, one last thing, Ken, I want to throw this out to you and other people listening. If you want fast regrowth, I want stuff in my lifetime. I want the quickest, the best growth, the fastest I can get. And I found, and this is something I learned in college, is something I've done for decades now, a small plant will outgrow a bigger plant of the same species every time. So if you want big, fast, tall trees, don't spend $200 on a tree. Get you one of those $30 ones, dig a wide hole, loosen the roots up, and it will double in size, where the bigger ones will just sit there trying to get roots established. So a smaller plant will always get established faster and outgrow a bigger plant the same species. It's true.
Well, that's more what I'm interested in. I'm not really interested in any big trees again, because next time they could fall.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, shoot me an email. We'll take it from there.
I'll do it.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Right. And by the way, before we go to this next caller, let me throw this out. I got an email. Java, you know, last week I got owned on this program. This guy, he called up, and he was on hold a long time. We were doing other stuff. And when we talked to him, he was hammering and sawing in the background. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, Anyway, long story short, I questioned his carpentry skills, and I love it. He said, "Just answer the question about my dadgum fig tree and leave the carpentry to me." He owned me, and I loved it. Other people might have said it was radio gold. Anyway, I got an email from him, from Jerry, lives in Ashland. He said, "Please don't think I'm a grump. As I was today when we spoke, I was actually nailing a point for a chalk line." He said, I did use screws to put up the brackets. You caught me off guard. I was nervous about being on the radio. Thanks for the advice on the pruning figs." See, But he still owned me. I love it. It's like one time, and I'll share this. My mother called me on the radio. Have I told you about this before, Jonas? My producer knew my mother's voice, and a gentleman called me and said that it was a pretty day. He wanted to do something with his grandson out in the yard. I forget what it was, but it wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. So I gave him horticulture advice and, you know, why it wouldn't work and try this and try that. And he thanked me and hung up. And immediately the next caller was my mother. She, and I seared in my mind, she said, "Young man, you just blew it. That gentleman didn't want your advice, your horticulture cynicism. He is a beautiful day. He wanted a wonderful experience with the grandson outdoor, and you blew it." Click. And she was right. Hey, before we do some cheesy music, let's slide over to Vidalia, Louisiana. Good morning, Harry. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, what's up?
We raise our own transplants on a wide variety of vegetable crops and put them in the greenhouse. And my question is, it's expensive to heat the greenhouse, and if we let the temperature get down into the lower 40s, will that affect the growth later on after the temperatures get back to normal or not?
Well, actually, it will affect them in a good way. If the temperatures are down in the 40s and 50s, the plants are sturdier and stockier than if they're long and leggy and floppy. So a lot of commercial growers, they get their seedlings started, and they move them into a cool greenhouse so they get, you know, the real sturdy little things. And so that's a good thing for them, not down in the 30s. But let me suggest this. You could get these things called heating pads. I don't know if you've seen them before. They fit right on top of your – it's like a rubber electric blanket. You put it on your bench. You put your seedling trays on top. It's got a thermostat, so it keeps the potting soil, the seedling soil, at a nice toasty 70, 72 degrees. So their roots are warm, but their tops are cool, and that's what commercial growers do. You can get them at garden centers. But these little heating pads, you set your trays of seedlings right on top, and it only keeps the potting soil warm and moist, which helps them grow faster roots. So that's a good way to keep them growing without heating your greenhouse.
Well, we start our plants in got a special room that's very well insulated and keeps the temperature between 80 and 85.
Until
they germinate.
Yeah, there you go.
Move them into the greenhouse after they have germinated.
Yeah, well, the roots will still grow better if the roots are warm. Well, they don't like cold roots in cold, wet potting soils. So you might still want to think about this, but the top parts will be sturdier and stockier because of that cool temperature.
Right. I was just concerned about whether letting them be exposed to temperatures in the lower 40s will affect their future growth later on.
No, I just started some seeds yesterday. I got them in a little thing with a plastic top on it, and as soon as they sprout and get up really good, I'm going to move them out. And if it gets down into the 40s and 50s at night, that just makes them sturdy. A lot of people make the mistake of keeping them indoors where it's too warm. They get long and leggy. So you're doing the right thing.
I sure appreciate your help and your program. Enjoy it immensely. It's a big help to us.
I appreciate it, Harry. Thanks so much, man. All righty, we're going to take a little quick break. I got not cheesy. Well, it is a cheesy tune. It's a cheesy tune. Came over from the 1890s from England, where things a little bit later, you know, they about a month or so behind us. But it's a cheesy tune. Worse than that, I found the cheesiest possible venue. I hope you like suspended sevenths. If you're a musician, you know what that teeth-grating suspended seventh that's so popular in the music called Barbershop Quartet. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more calls from Lyon, Mississippi, up at the Delta, to Meridian over in the Pine Belt. We're going to be taking a quick break, come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener and your phone calls, and also to reaffirm some of the things that happened this weekend right after this. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, Gestalt Gardener here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Life is not a highway strewn with flowers, still it holds a goodly share of bliss. When the sun gives way to April showers, here's the point that you should never miss. Though April showers may come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in May.
because it isn't raining rain. It's raining violets, and where you see clouds upon the hill, you soon will see crowds of daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song. Whenever April showers come along, and where you see clouds upon a hill, you soon will see daffodils. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song.
Okie doke, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Phil Rushing. Wake up, Java. Barbershop Court. Oh, April flower. Lordy. Just having a little bit of fun. By the way, folks, if you knew some cheesy music related to weather or season or gardening or something like that, send it to me. Just send me a link. I can find it. Love to do that kind of stuff. We are live here at MPB. You want to give us a call, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We've had Homer calling from Lyon, Mississippi, which is Clarksdale is a suburb of Lyon. Is that right, Homer?
Kind of thought, I guess. It's according to which one you're from. If you're from Lyon, Clarksdale is a suburb, the other way.
That's right, that's right. And if you're coming from Memphis, Lyon is where it's at.
Right, right before you get into Clarksdale,
hey,
you go across.
I got this old Ford pickup truck that's painted John Deere green. I got flowers and herbs and stuff planted in the back. Been doing this for years. I'm going to drive it up to Clarksdale. You know where Miss Dell's is downtown? It used to be downtown Clarksdale.
That's where I buy my grain, Phil.
I'm going to have my truck parked out there next Friday afternoon. Hope to see you.
I'm coming out. No, you will see me. I want to meet you. I'm coming out there to meet you. But
what's going
anyway,
on?
This is the first time I've done this. I planted greens this spring. I raised greens. Kind of processing, but anyway.
What kinds?
I sell them all. I found, I was a marketing major in college, Phil. I found that
what you don't sell, you got to. What you don't sell, you got to smell.
No, I don't do mine like that. I actually process them and freeze them.
Okay.
Sell every green I get, I sell it.
Cool.
I looked at that a different way from most people. I don't sell them. I got people just call me to buy them. They froze hard. I mean, you know. But anyway, I raised some. I got a pretty good sized bed of turnips going right now. I raised turnips, collards, and mustard. But anyway, I put some, and I want to get your opinion on this. I bought some, and I've been using it, Milorganite. I have to say that slow.
Yeah, that's right. That works.
As the greens came up, I just, put some of that out there, kind of spread it out. Is that after the greens get up, do you think I should put that? Sometimes I put it in the ground before. before I
yeah.
plant.
No,
and, but
here's the way it is. It's Milorganite is just manure. It's just manure, and it works best, and it takes a while to break down. You know, manure is when you work manure into the dirt, it has to be broken down by microorganisms, bacteria and fungi in the soil and earthworms to really convert it into plant food. So it's slow acting. See, so you okay. put it out there, you're not going to see any results. If you put it out today, you ain't going to see results before that crop is gone. So you put it down, working the dirt before you plant, just like you would cow manure or chicken manure or something like that. And so, and by the way, you think any of your customers listening?
It probably is, but a lot, you know, it's so few people gardening now.
Okay. Reason why I'm saying, because Milorganite, if you look on the bag, and it's perfectly safe, but it is a proud product of the people of Milwaukee. It's human.
I did research
okay,
on it.
Okay, good. So we don't need to go there. It's perfectly safe, but like any, it doesn't matter if it's cow or chicken or people, whatever, it takes a long time. It's slow acting. So you put it in when you work your dirt up, like fertilizer. And if you want to spruce things up, like a little shot in the arm, go ahead and get you one of these liquid fertilizers mixed with water. But here's the trick, Homer. Use it at half strength. Whatever it says put in a gallon of water, put half that much. And that'll give the plants a nice little shot in the arm. It's perfectly safe, and it's real fast-acting. So if you want to spruce things up, a little half-strength liquid plant food.
I got you. Okay. Hey, I appreciate it. Enjoy the show.
I got one more question for you. Do you grow just the greens, or you let them make turnips?
I got some turnip fella that is bigger than a grapefruit. I just and this year was the first time I tried eating them. My mom
you can't eat one that big.
I mean, they are good though. I love them.
They're chewy.
Yeah.
Listen, I hope to see you next week, Homer. Thank you, man.
You will. Thank you.
Appreciate Bye-bye. It. All right, a big old woody turnips at Homer. We're going over to Meridian now. David, how are you this morning, sir? Hello.
Hello.
Hey, howdy. Sorry. Thanks for holding. What's going on?
Good. Last week you talked to someone about mayhaws.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to grow a dogwood, which is a good exercise in futility.
Yes.
And I can't find mayhaws anywhere. Where do you get a mayhaw? I've asked them commercial places, and they don't know.
Well, they do, but they don't want to fool with you. There's a place. I know they can get them because there's a place over at Jackson that specializes in fruit plants, and they sell mayhaws every year, and they get them from somewhere. So the people who say they can't get it, what they mean is they don't want to fool with you. But at the same time, it's not a mainstream plant, so they may have to shop around, but they can do that. That's what their telephones are for and their internet. But a mayhaw is a native plant, and there's a few people who grow them, and they're actually different varieties of them. But I got an email from a fellow I just answered. He emailed either last night or this morning. I don't know. I got the email this morning, said he just bought one. Want to know if he should cut it back or not. So I tell you what, if you'll shoot me an email, the guy who asked me whether he should cut it back or not, I'll email him, ask where he got it.
Okay, great.
And hey, I'm going to be down at the Max. Have you been to the Max yet downtown?
Yes.
That is a
great.
Cool. It is a cool, cool place. They even have a little display of one of my little bottle trees up there someplace. Anyway, we're gonna have a plant swap starting at 9 in the morning, and then I'm gonna slide over to the farmer's market after that for a few minutes. So hope to see you there.
All right.
Shoot me an
Love
email.
The show.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for being part
Thanks.
Of it.
Bye bye.
Okay, now let's talk to Dawn. Dawn, how are you this morning? Calling from Jackson.
I'm great. How are y'all?
It's pretty good. Me and Java, we're whooping it up, winking at each other.
That's a good thing.
I picked my first rose of the season. See this, Java? I'm thinking of you. You know, I mean, not in that way. Don't go there, Java. It's just
a
rose.
Well, it's okay for men to give other men flowers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Java's having a conniption in there. Well, what's up, Tom?
So I've been cleaning out several water gardens, and I'm getting eaten alive by these biting gnats.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to protect myself, and I have welts all over my forehead, my chin, my neck. It's horrible.
Yeah, and the bad part about it, those little small things, even the repellents don't seem to work that well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mean, my arms, I wish you could see mine. You know, my arms, well, I just, they're horrible looking because of the same thing. I found if you scratch them, they get infected and you have horrible arms. Don't do that. But
Somebody said something about a cinnamon spray that you could put on yourself, but I wondered if that wouldn't attract mosquitoes then.
No, the mosquitoes are attracted to the carbon in your breath. That's what they're attracted to. They're attracted to your breathing. But what will repel those gnats will get rid of the mosquitoes. Any kind of a repellent will work. I don't know if you necessarily want to cover yourself in DEET. But it's by far the most effective. It is by far. But there's a lot of natural products that have a mixture of different kind of herbal oils. Pennyroyal, for example. Those are any kind of really pungent herb like that. Mint, rosemary, all those kind of things. So well, they'll work a pretty good bit, and they won't attract mosquitoes. But there's nothing going to be as effective as DEET.
And I can't use DEET in the water garden because
I know. Well, just, you know, so you putting your hands down in the water and all that?
Cause I do, and I usually use Skin So Soft for that.
Skin So Soft is fine. It's got those natural repellents in there, mm-hmm. But it just lasts for. So what you might want to do is put the DEET on your head and your neck and your shoulder and stuff like that, and just, you know, use some of the other stuff on your arms.
Because, good idea.
You know, but anyway, the natural repellents work pretty well, but nothing's going to be 100% with these little gnats.
I'll let you know if I find a remedy.
Good luck. What I do, I mean, I wear long sleeves, you know. I mean, that's what I do. And, you know, you can actually use long sleeves even work in the water garden.
I guess I could do that and suffer even more.
Yep, sorry. Welcome to our world.
Get your hands dirty, baby.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
All righty. Let's see now. Let's go down to the coast, to Biloxi. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I have a remedy for the gnats.
What's
I work at the boatyards, and they're in the swamps, and we use smudge pots. You take a tin can. Yeah, you take a tin can, and you light a T-shirt material that will smoke when you put it out, and I put two of them upwind of me a little bit, and they all go away.
That's got to be some nasty T-shirts, Craig.
No, actually, leaves here in the yard. I use pine needles or anything that'll smoke. It's the smoke that drives them away.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And they do have to be used T-shirts. You have to wear them for a week before you can smoke them.
Well, what's going on? You call about that, just about that?
Yes, I was. Well, that's a big issue. I mean, you can't stand outside, but that's my remedy is two little smoke pots with burning leaves upwind.
I was down on the coast this past week and went out in the morning to, you know, drink a cup of coffee, and they ran me right back in. But anyway.
Yeah. They do. Ocean Springs has a big swamp area back there, and I use it there.
Okay, good tip, Craig. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Okay, now let's go over to Brandon, Central Mississippi. And how are you this morning?
Great.
Good. What's up?
Well, I have a couple questions. The first one may be kind of dumb. When you put seeds down, do you mulch or do you wait and only mulch around plants that are...
Yeah. Actually, it's not a dumb question at all. I get asked that the night before last. I got asked that. A mulch keeps sun from hitting the ground, and it'll actually keep a lot of seedlings from sprouting. So, if you get a plant from seed, wait till the seedlings sprout, and then tuck mulch around them. But do it that way. That's the reason I use chipped bark, because you can sort of sift the bark around the little seedlings without bending them over like pine straw or something.
Oh, okay.
Good question, though.
Well, my next question is, y'all were talking about gnats. Is it normal to have a lot of gnats this time of year swarming your compost pile?
It's a different kind of gnat. The compost, the gnats in the compost, you know these great big, what we call mosquito hawks, these great big, look like giant mosquitoes? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
See, they're in the same family as gnats and flies, and their larvae live on decaying organic matter. See, so little fruit flies and what they call fungus gnats, and that you get in potting soil, and crane flies, those kind of things, their larvae actually feed on decaying organic matter. So that's normal. It's not the same thing as a biting gnats.
Okay, good.
good questions. All right, we got to scoot, Ann. Appreciate it. Now, Hamilton, Alabama, which I drove through last fall. How are you, Mark? Good morning.
Hey, how come you didn't stop when you drove through?
I did. Got a red light and all that, you know, downtown.
Okay. Look, I buy a lot of bedding plants in the spring and in the fall, and I buy them from the big box, the local big box store.
Uh-huh.
And a buddy of mine buys a lot as well, and he refuses to buy them at the big box, and he tells me that the big box... the growers use growth inhibitors, and he says that they never recover from it. Any comments? I can't find any information on it.
Well, they really don't. You know, there are some growth regulators that keep plants sturdy and stocky, but the places that grow for these big box stores, they want to get plants up and out as fast as they can. Now, they do use a type of insecticide called neonicotinoids, which can poison bees and butterflies later, you know, but they're by law, they're supposed to have a little label on now if it says they use neonicotinoids. There's a bad little insecticide, commonly used insecticide on earth, but they're pretty bad. So they have to be labeled for that now. But the growth regulators, even if they use them, it just temporarily stunts plants. They grow out of it.
Okay.
But, so he's sort of right. I don't think they use them on most crops because the idea is get them up and out as quick as possible, rather than keep them sturdy and stocky. What they do is they regulate the temperatures that they're grown in, which keeps them sturdy and stocky, which we don't at home.
That's great information. And, again, I had tried my best to research it. Couldn't find anything about it.
Well, there's a reason for it. And, of course, the guy might have been pulling your leg. Who knows?
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet, Mark. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I would like to remind folks that there's several things going on this weekend. Sunday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, they can have this thing at Crosby Arboretum down at Picayune. It's free, ice cream, strawberries, and music. I'm going to be at the Winona Library at noon on April the 11th and at the Walnut Grove Library in the evening on April 11th. But this weekend, Meridian Max, downtown Meridian, we're having a first ever plant swap. Bring a decent plant. It's free, and I'm going to give a little talk, and we'll take it from there. Starts at 9 o'clock, so start getting there a little bit before then. Then I'm going to swing by the farmer's market after. It's about a block away. And then at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be at the New Albany Garden Festival at the Magnolia Civic Center, downtown New Albany. Starting at 3 o'clock is when my talk is. And then next Friday afternoon, Juke Joint Festival, downtown Clarksdale. I'm going to be at the back of my pickup truck at a place called Miss Dell's. It's called The Collective now, but it still says Dell's on top of it. Look forward to seeing y'all. Meanwhile, let's talk with Julie on the road in Mississippi. Where are you from Mississippi, Julie?
Oh, yes, I'm from Mississippi.
So you're just riding around. You're just trying to get away from people.
There you go. All right. Those biting gnats, they show up early in the year,
right?
Generally, when the rivers come up, when the water comes up,
right,
when they start coming out. But pure vanilla extract will keep those suckers off of you.
That's a good one. That's good. And of course, it's expensive, but you know,
expensive,
I would.
Expensive, but it beats those giant whelps. I've had them swell both of my eyes up before.
I believe me. One time, I was picking wild blueberries in northern England a couple of years ago, and they got on me, and I was scratching them. But I had here at home, my fingers and my body's used to whatever kind of dirt and dust we have here. But it was a foreign kind of stuff I had under my fingernails, and I mean, it took. I looked like I had leprosy. It was terrible. But anyway, that's a good idea, a little bit of vanilla extract.
It really keeps them off of you. It does a good job.
All righty. I do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, well, y'all have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Just hang on a second. Can we have some decorum out here? See, I got owned last week. So I just owned some people just then. I'm going to have to apologize, Dale Arney. Hey, folks, we got a lot of stuff going on right now. If there's some events I can help promote, let me know about them. I had such a great time at the libraries in Kiln and in Bay St. Louis. big crowds, fun people, a lot of yucks. We talked about a bunch of stuff, but also had a good time. I really enjoyed this. Taking it to the streets, you know, horticulturists tend to be the what I call the high priests of horticulture, and then the master gardeners of the choirs supporting all that. But I'm taking it to the street. Taking it to the street. I don't have a bullhorn, but the library, the garden club, the civic centers, those kind of things. It's a place for people who don't have anything much in common. Mom and them may not even know each other. Different churches, vote differently. Doesn't really matter. Gardeners don't have a place like a football stadium for football fans or tennis matches. We don't have a place to get together. We're not even like the golf course people hanging around the edge of the field watching people play. So the MPB provides this opportunity. And every now and then a library or a garden club or a civic center will give us a chance to get together without having to really dress up and vote and have officers and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, you've been listening to the garden. You've been participating in this garden party. I hope to see some of y'all at the Max starting at 9 o'clock downtown Marina tomorrow. Bring a plant. If you don't bring a plant, that's okay. We'll still have a good time. If you don't bring a plant, come on anyway. And then at the New Albany Flower Fest after that. Got a lot of stuff to talk about, but it's over for this week for us folks. I'm Horticulture's Felda Rushing, me and Java Chapman and all the folks here at MPB. Trying to get us all together as best we can. If you have some questions during the week, shoot us an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Meanwhile, there's a lot of plants at garden centers, If you can't plant them this weekend, at least go out and get them this weekend. Put them out, you know, you don't have to plant them. Get them. And then they're there when you get ready to plant when the weather cooperates. Meanwhile, if you get a chance, take a kid to a garden center, farmer's market, whatever. Wiggle your fingers in the dirt out in the yard. Show them what a roly-poly is. Teach them how to do what we all do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.